shout aloud, Alléluia. Avant que tes chers camps sur toi, three persons say you are welcome in Jesus' name. Jesus is going to bless you today. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Raise up your right hand to the heavens and declare this loud and clear. My Father, plug me to the socket of the Holy Ghost today. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and declare it. Plug me into the socket of the Holy Ghost today. Plug me into the socket of the Holy Ghost today. In Jesus' name we pray. Now say, every pot of darkness, cooking my glory, break in the name of Jesus. Break the pot of darkness by the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. This next prayer is for everyone here today. Make sure that you pray with aggression. O rod of God, arise! Part my Red Sea. Can I hear the sister saying this this morning? Brothers, shout it louder than the sisters. Everybody shouting it louder. In the name of Jesus, let the rod of God arise and part my Red Sea. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Sing it loud, hallelujah. Wonderful morning here, and declare this louder than anyone around you. Please make sure that nobody's voice overshadows your own now. You will shout this loud and clear. Pharaoh of my fathers, let my people go. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and begin to declare. Something must happen to you here this morning. The Pharaoh must release that which he has held captive.
In Jesus' name we pray. Wonderful God, we thank you for this wonderful morning. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. The prophecy concerning this morning's meeting is that you will surprise us. Lord, I pray that you would lay your hands upon your people in the name of Jesus. And by the time we leave this service, let all the glory belong to you. Let all the blessings belong to us. And all the shame belong to the devil. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. You recall that the first time we started to teach on this, I told you that day that the next worst thing after hellfire is a bad marriage. We spoke to that level. And we said the choice of your marital partner, your marriage partner, determines 99% of your success in life. Whether you will sink or you will float depends on who you marry. If you marry your enemy, it will kill you. If you marry a deficit, you become a deficit. And if you marry a zero, you become zero. And I could remember telling you that there are a lot of women will have lived for long if not for the wicked husband they married. And so the short lifespan of plenty of women have been linked to the kind of marriage they got themselves into. I pray that the Lord will help you. And none of you here will make mistakes. Then that time, I remember, we went into 14 wrong reasons for getting married. And I explained to you the reasons you should not get married. If you want more of this information, the tapes, the CDs are there. Get them so that you can understand the 14 wrong reasons to get married. Then we went into the different categories of husbands that are available in the supermarket. So that when you get to the supermarket, you know what you are picking. So if you have gone to the supermarket to pick a Panadol husband, then God have mercy on you. Then we went to the categories of wives that are available to be married. If you marry a dictionary wife, then God have mercy on you. I think to my mind, that's why we stopped. And we didn't go further. So today now, we want to go into how really do you know that this person is my wife? This person is my husband. How do you have that kind of information? Statement number 5. If you marry an unbeliever, the devil becomes your father-in-law. And if the devil is your father-in-law, you're in trouble. It will harass your life. It will harass your life. I know a lady who used to come to Mountain of Fire. And somebody married her. Person is an unbeliever. Person will smoke cigarettes, begin to lick sweet and peppermint to clean them out. The sister knew that the man was smoking. But something was telling her that, well, don't worry. After marriage, it will change. It will change. No. If a man is very loose with women before marriage, it will not change when he's married. If a man is a fry pan liar, you know, when somebody tells lies and he makes face like fry pan, and he's not winking, he's not shaking, he will continue to lie. So, since you did not succeed in converting yourself, you can't say the man will get converted after marriage. It's not possible. The key of salvation is not in your hand. So you can't say a man will be converted. It's not possible. So it's better not to see the mouth of the lion and put your head inside. So they got married.
Again, they went to the marriage committee. The girl taught the man what to say. Say, when you get there, they will ask you, are you born again? You say, yes. Then they will ask you, have you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Say, yes, that you have received, that I have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's how to answer. What did I say again? The man will be, he was still training, coaching the man. Coaching the man. And the man went there and answered the questions correctly. Are you born again? Yes. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Say yes. With the evidence of speaking in some soko kaka sata katuna kana. So that's all right. That's all right. Two lies. The man did not have money to buy the wedding suit. It was his sister who bought it. What kind of husband is this? Yet, they got married. The second day of the wedding, the man woke her up in the middle of the night and said, if I see your leg in that church again, you are finished. Both of us, no church again. That was the last we heard about the sister. I'm praying for somebody here. Husband from hellfire. Wife from hellfire. They will not locate you. Let your amen be loud and clear. Let your amen be loud and clear. Let your amen be loud and clear. And those of you who are here, you say, yes, I'm anointed. God has called me to be a pastor. If God has called you to be a minister, I congratulate you. You have to be careful who you marry. It takes a woman only 5 minutes to destroy the ministry of her husband. Just 5 minutes, that's all. I had a friend, a bishop. He had about 2,500 people in his church. If the church was doing well, the church of this bishop. One day they were doing communion service in the church. The wife of bishop grabbed the microphone and said, shout hallelujah. Everybody said hallelujah. So you see this man, this bishop here? He's a fornicator. And both of you, I feel sorry for all of you. You want to receive communion from this fornicator? There was confusion in the church. So people say, it's a lie. Our bishop cannot be a fornicator. What is this woman talking about? Somebody said, do you know him more than his wife? What are you talking about? There was fight in the church. By next Sunday, the congregation fell to 150 from 2,500. By the next Sunday, nobody came to church. Minister, you even have to pray harder. Harder. One day, the great apostle Babalola called all his pastors together and said, how many of you want to make heaven? They said, me. He said, ask your wife whether you will make heaven. Because if that madam says you are not making it, that's it. That's it. You want to go to church, you pour water on your clothes. You want to go out and say you are not going out. So, if you marry an unbeliever, the devil becomes your father-in-law. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Second Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So you should not even consider it. It's not an option to consider. Once a man is not born again, a woman is not born again, don't bother to pray. It's useless praying. Don't even try it. Just forget it. No matter how beautiful, how handsome, how long the legs are, how much Queen's English he speaks, what kind of fast car he rides, what kind of houses he lives in, how many dollars are in his pocket, immediately he's a child of the devil. Don't make the devil your father-in-law. Run. I say, and he's very nice. So I like the way he smiles. Is he smile? You will marry. Sir, he's very kind, though, very generous. Do you know where the money is coming from? Do you know where the money is coming from? Please note this very well. Without any apologies and with due respect, anybody who is demanding sex from you before marriage is an unbeliever. Even if he calls himself a pastor. Without any apology, with due respect, anybody at all, once you get into the hand of a man, a woman, and they are demanding sex before marriage, they are not born again. They are children of the devil. So all this, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know you to get that far. We didn't know. Would you get that far? We didn't know. I'm dealing with a case now. I shared it at the headquarters on Wednesday. She went to a party with evil friends. They put something in her drink. She slept off. And the boys there began to rape her. By the time she woke up from what made her sleep, she found a boy on top of her, sleeping with her. And the others were still naked, looking on. And they were videoing her. When she opened her eyes and pushed away this boy who was there, they all ran away. She reported to her parents, who took police to arrest the four boys. The four boys and the girl, they were taken to the hospital for a medical checkup. Three of them had HIV. One and the girl did not have. But technically, those of you who know science, they have transferred HIV into her by going about with unbelievers. I pray at any power that wants to glue somebody to the camp of destruction shall be scattered in the name of Jesus. And I prophesy upon somebody here, you will not marry your enemy. 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 In the name of Jesus. And if you are already married and you are here, I pray that the Lord will give you plaster, iodine, first aid to cope if you have already married your enemy. Statement number 6. Destiny comes before partner. Destiny comes before partner. You must know your purpose on earth before you start looking for a woman or a man that will fit it. Destiny comes before partner. Find out your destiny first before praying about partner. Know why God has brought you here before you start praying about a partner. Don't marry somebody who will be a deficit to your destiny later on. Statement number 7. Marriage is a life contract. Therefore, don't rush into it without adequate preparation. Marriage is a life contract. Therefore, don't rush into marriage without adequate preparation. What you do not prepare for, you cannot give the thing your best. When you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. Statement number 8. Are you following me? Am I too fast for you? You're following me. Statement number 8. The devil battles against the establishment of godly marriages. The devil battles against the establishment of godly marriages. Whenever the devil is seeing that this person, these two people, if they join together, they are going to give him stress. He will battle and battle and battle and battle them. And one of the forces that doesn't like people to get married is the devil not wanting a kind of match that would disgrace him. Do you follow what I just said? The devil doesn't want two people to get married, and you are troubling his kingdom. You want to get married, and then you'll have children who also be troubling his kingdom. He will start fighting. I pray that if there is anyone here like that, and the reason you are not married is because the enemy is afraid of your destiny, you shall overcome in the name of Jesus. And very soon, we're going to rebrand and restart our singles meeting. Not only that one, we're going to be having special programs for them at our multipurpose hall at the Prayer City. Statement number nine. There are ancestral and demonic roadblocks to marriages. There are ancestral and demonic roadblocks to marriages. This is why you find Mountain of Fire talking about spirit husband, spirit wife, spiritual marriages. Once you start seeing people sleeping within your dream, you start having sex in the dream, it means that you're already married somewhere. The person sleeping with you in that dream is your husband over there, or your wife over there. So if a person continues to have those kind of sexual dreams, you will not be able to locate the correct marriage partner that you're supposed to have. And when somebody is praying, and you cannot really locate who God wants you to marry, sometimes it's because you are under a curse. Under a curse. And that curse can cause trouble. In one family many years ago, the family is in this Lagos, so I won't mention the name because it's a popular family. In that family, popular Lagos family, marriages never work. One of them came for deliverance at Prayer City. Was then this secret was revealed that a long time ago in that family, long time ago, hundreds of years back, they sacrificed a slave girl who was a virgin. They used a slave girl who was a virgin as a sacrifice. And as they were killing that slave girl, it began to issue curses that no one in that marriage, in that family line, will have a happy home. Or will marry at all. And we can see the outworking now. I remember the case of a man too, who one day saw a madman holding plenty of money. He didn't know where the madman found the money from. He just looked around to see there was nobody around, grabbed the money from the madman. They started struggling. He pushed the madman into the river and the man drowned. And he went away with the money. Now, every woman from that family, immediately after childbirth, they run mad. They run mad. So it's not everything that is hospital case. Some cases, even some doctors will say, you can't look for somebody who can pray. I don't understand this anymore. If you have come from a family where marriages do not work, I prophesy upon your life that your case shall be different. 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 In the name of Jesus. Number 10 statement. It is dangerous for you to give your body to a man before you are married to him. It is dangerous for you to give your body to a man before you are married to him. Number one, you cheapen yourself. Number two, they will write your name on their list of those that they have captured. Number three, you lose your respect because men respect those women who will say no to their sexual advancement and not just giving easily. Number four, they will use and dump you. It's dangerous to give your body to a man you are not married to. Then there is one spiritual secret many of us don't understand. Once you begin to sleep with a woman, or a man begins to have sex with you, there is no prayer you can pray again that heaven will show you his secret. Because now, two of you have become a one. So you have to be very, very careful. In that book of Genesis that we read, God brought each animal to Adam. Adam was giving name to them. The process of giving a name to somebody is to give a character and identity to that person. So Adam was standing by, and they brought the lion. The lion came and said, "Wah!" I said, "Your name shall be lion. Pass me by. I have nothing to do with you. You are Ruari." Then they brought the dog. Wah! Adam said, "Huh? Your name shall be dog. You are barking. Pass me by." They brought snake, hissing and calling. Say, this one is a snake. Pass me by. They pass all those various animals through Adam. Adam just gave the animal and said, pass by. But these days now, sisters are marrying serpents, dogs, snakes. Adam said, all those things you pass by. But when they brought Eve, say, yes, this is the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Understand this very, very well. God has an agenda. And that agenda is not to harm you, but to prosper your life. The Bible says Adam slept while God made Eve. Adam slept. He did not say, I must remain awake. He slept. That sleep is a state of rest. You must be at rest for God to give you the best. All this agitation, anxiety. Hey, that one is gone again. Hey, I'm tired. I'm chief bridesmaid for this, chief bridesmaid for that, best man for this, best man. I'm tired. Hey, and your blood pressure is going up. You won't see anything. Better relax. Be at rest for God to give you the best. Adam was sleeping while God did the surgery. So a key principle in getting married is rest. Rest. And then final point. Don't underrate yourself. Some have underrated themselves too badly. I'm about to give up. I'm too fat. The truth is that some people like your kind. Some said, I'm not beautiful enough. Who told you that you're not beautiful? Beauty is a thing of the mind. And there are even some people, anytime they call prayer point, it is then they will wake up from their sleep and then start praying. And then they say that nothing is happening. I pray that the confidence of the Holy Spirit shall be your rock and your shield. Now, before I now go into biblical principles for choosing, I want to go into danger signals. Red light. When the thing begins to flash. Danger signals. Because some people will come and say, well, I want to marry a tall man. Dark and handsome man. I want to marry a beautiful woman. That is your mindset. If your mindset is not the mindset of heaven, you are in trouble. I want to marry a tall man, a dark man, a handsome man. You that you say you want to marry a tall, dark, handsome man. Are you tall? Are you dark? Are you handsome? Are you beautiful? Beauty is in the mind. We are all created in the image of God. Most of the handsome and beautiful people you have around have characters or behaviors that turn them sometimes to monsters. So look into the soul, not the face. Look into the soul, not the face. Like I told you before, to marry a man because of handsomeness or to marry a woman because of beauty is like buying a house because of paint. Very soon, the paint will wear off. And then you know who you married. I want you to understand this very well. Some will come and say, I want to marry a rich man. I want to marry a rich man. I want to marry a rich woman. You that you say you want to marry a rich man, a rich woman, how much money do you have yourself? Nobody wants a liability, so you should not be a liability. Money answers all things, but money cannot buy happiness. I want you to understand that one very, very soon. These are some practical things we need to share with you here. Some will say, well, my husband or wife must have a very sound education and they must go to the best schools. Really? The best person you want is the person God asked for you. And the person, both of you should be able to complement each other. It's possible that the man you find may not be able to speak the kind of English you want the person to speak. But it's not that English you will eat when you get home. And some people say, well, though I'm advanced in age, I don't want to look desperate. Because if I look desperate, they'll take me for a ride. Age is actually in the mind. You're as old as you feel. So if you put up an unapproachable attitude, it's also very bad. Hey, I can't marry somebody that I'm older than. Well, we've seen successful marriages where the wife is older. You don't have to be shouting your age at rooftop. Don't have to be shouting your age at rooftop. I'm this, I'm that. You don't have to. The important thing is to do what God wants you to do. Now, danger signals. You meet a guy. Day one. First day. And he's already invited you to his house. Run. You haven't found a husband yet. Sisters, can you hear me? First day, let's go to our house. You better pick this. And run. Danger signal. You meet a guy. Your name is Deborah. And he's already calling you Roslyn. You better run. Because that is telling you that there is Roslyn somewhere. That is still occupying his mind. That's why he said, I'm not Roslyn, I'm Deborah. Are you calling me Roslyn now? Ah, foolish girl. You meet a guy. He always wants to borrow your money. Can I have 1,000 naira? Can I have 200 naira? Can I have a charge card? Can I have? He has never given you one single recharge card. He has never given you one cup of say, can I have? You're already facing an arm robber. You better run. You meet a guy and you have never seen his mother before. And he's telling you that his mother cannot do anything wrong. He's a perfect woman. Better run. You meet a man and he's forgetting your bad day. He's forgetting the days that are important to your life. You better run. You meet a man and only you like that man in your house. Your mother does not like him. Your father does not like him. All your siblings don't like him. They hate him. And you are the only one smiling and says, nice man. Those siblings can see what you cannot see. Because they are not blinded by what you call love that has blinded your own eyes. You better run. You meet a man and already you are not married to him yet and he's getting violent. He's getting violent. He grab your handset and smash it on the floor. And you're not married yet. So, who sent you this text message? Sir, it's my friend. So, which friend? Give me the handset. Give me that. Give me. Smash it. You You better run. That anger is not likely to go away. It's not likely to go away when you marry. You may even not survive that marriage. I know a man called Sunday. His wife was promoted at work, and the wife drove him in a new Toyota car. When Sunday saw that tear rubber car coming, jealousy, everything took him over. He went straight to the kitchen and grabbed a knife. Before he could say Jesus is Lord, he tore the wife to pieces with knife, claiming that she had received car from the boyfriend. Only to discover the second day that she got it in her place of work. I'm sure that it was not that day the wife noticed that Sunday used to get angry. You meet a man, he does not compliment you. If you wear clothes, you don't wear, you pass, you fail, no compliments. You better run. It means that they are just using you to play extra time. You meet a man who doesn't give you any gift. They don't have to be expensive. Small, small things. So stingy. You better run. You better run. Before you marry the fellow and he is giving you his own pant to use as menstrual pad. Above all, you meet a man who never talks about the Sunday sermons. He never discusses Bible. But he will discuss Yahoo, Playboy, this magazine, that magazine. Two, if you're a brother, danger signals to watch for. When you meet a sister the first day, and you say, where do you live? Where do you live? I want to know your house. Hey, you better run. You meet a sister, and every day she's introduced you to a new male friend. This is Joshua, he's my friend. How many male friends? You meet a sister, and anytime you're talking to her, anytime you mention money, then expression changes. It's money. Or you meet a sister, she's already telling you that, Edda, pray that your mother should die before I come and marry you. Or remove her. You're already in trouble. You meet a sister who is very quarrelsome. Always seem to be in a bad mood. You have to pet her, talk before you sometimes get her to smile. Ah. Above all, you meet a sister who is not interested in the things of God. Those are danger signals to watch for. If you have already seen that signal, run. Run. Don't wait. Don't even wait for a prophet. Run. Now, what are the biblical principles for choosing a marriage partner? There are 10 of them. 10 of them. Let me now take it one by one. Pastor, how many more minutes have you got? Number one principle. Be born again. You want to choose your partner. The first principle is what? Be born again. The Bible says, whosoever is in Christ has become a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For heaven to take you as a serious person, you must be born again. As I stand there today, I feel sad in my heart to tell you that there are pastors who are not born again. There are bishops who are not born again. There are apostles who are not born again. The only reason they call him apostle is because of his tall hat. There are superintendents who are not born again. There are so-called men of God who are far from new birth, as heaven is far from the earth. There are so many people who go to church who are not born again at all. Those who are born again, they don't tell lies. They don't commit fornication. They don't steal. They don't bear malice. They don't do evil things that others do. They are born again. Those who are born again, in their lives, you find coming to pass the words of that ancient Negro spiritual. The thing I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. That is a great change since. The things you used to do, gone. People will look at you and say, yes, this person has changed. Most people who claim to be born again these days are born against. They have not tasted heaven at all. This foundation must be cleared. You must be born again as written in scripture so that heavens will have you in mind. That's the foundation of everything. If you're not born again, that foundation for heaven to even give you a good wife is not there. The foundation for heaven to give you a good husband is not there because as far as heaven is concerned, your name is not on their register because you are just not born again. I've been at an international conference before. An international conference. I was the chief speaker. That's the name they gave to me. Big name. Chief speaker. In that kind of conference, normally all of us will be on the high table like this. Everybody on the high table. Then the preacher will be at the center. So I got there. They began to introduce everybody. So on this left corner, you find this woman. She's the first police commissioner in this country. Let's give her a round of applause. Quack, 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 quack. Then this one is that is the head of this company. Blah, blah, give her a round of applause. I give this man a round of applause. Very fearful introduction. Very intimidating as they were introducing them where I was standing. This one is secretary to something government. Then they now got to me and said, finally, I was speaker for today. Dr. Lukoya, General Vasa, Martin of Fire Miracles Ministry, is from Nigeria. Blah, blah, blah. Quack, 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 quack. They clapped and gave me the microphone. As I grabbed the microphone, I said, stand up and let us pray. As I closed my eyes, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, son, there is a homosexual on this high table. Tell that homosexual to repent right now, or he will die within 7 days. So say so now. Say, ha. Say, hey, what kind of trouble is this now? Say, Lord, if I say this, they will throw me out. Say, son, obey me. Say, what? Since I didn't send myself there, it's the Lord that sent me. So I prepared myself to be thrown out. And if they threw me out, I won't be the first because they threw out my daddy before. They threw out my own daddy, physical daddy. They invited me to preach at a Harvest Bazaar. He was invited as a preacher at Harvest Bazaar. You know this bazaar place where they raise money. And he got there and began to talk about rapture. In fact, the Jew ordered the ushers to throw him out. So I prepared myself to be thrown out. So I said, there is somebody here on this high table who is a homosexual. He should repent now, or he will die within 7 days. Before they settled down, I started praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, blah, 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 blah. I purposely pray long prayer. But as I was praying my prayer, I noticed that the tables and the chair were moving beside me. By the time I said, in Jesus' name I pray, when I was expecting them to say, get out of here, there was nobody on the eye table. Nobody. I didn't know that when the Holy Spirit was saying there is somebody here, he meant all of them. But one thing, I appreciated them for one thing. They did not deceive themselves. Some will have stubbornly stood there. Say, how can I be put to shame like that? I will stay. They did not disgrace themselves. They did not disgrace themselves like that woman who was in Joseph Babalola's meeting, and Joseph Babalola got to her village, and she was the mother of the church. And when Joseph Babalola got to the village, he prayed on the river, and as he was praying on the river, he was saying with a smile, that please, sir, if you know that you are possessed, and you have witchcraft spirits, please, after praying on this water, don't drink it. So with smile, you know, I told them. So, everybody in the church was drinking. The mama now said, me, a whole mother of the church, how can it be said that I did not drink water that Baba prayed on? She drank the water. That was her disaster. All of a sudden, she tore off her clothes. And for the first time, they saw that she had both male and female organ. In the open. They all disappeared from that eye table. You must be what? Born again. The major problem we have in the house of God is that we have so many people who are not born again. We are coming to the house. They're not born again. Choristers who are not born again. Ushers who are not born again. People who don't know, who don't even know what new birth means, claiming to be born again. It's very sad. Those who practice masturbation, you claim to be, you are using your finger to excite your vagina, you say you are born again. What is new birth? You're not born again, you are a fornicator. Your own is even worse. Your finger is your penis. But practicing masturbation, you're not born again. No, let's not deceive ourselves. That's the problem that we have. Be born again. So if you're in this garden today, you have that opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus. So what is point number one? Point number two. Confirm your destiny. Confirm your destiny. That is, know what your destiny is. Who really are you? What are you here to do? Are you a carpenter? Are you a pastor? Are you a bricklayer? Are you a geographer? Is it your destiny to become the vice chancellor or governor or president? Find out what it is first. Find it out very well. Like I was telling you the last time I came here, Michael Jackson could sing, but didn't have a good marriage. Because if he had a good marriage, the wife would not sit down and allow them to just be pumping drugs into her husband. Could sing. He had money, but not a good marriage. Confirm your destiny before you do anything. Confirm it very well. What is your destiny? If you don't know your destiny, you don't know anything. No. Because you may know your book, but if you don't know your destiny, you still don't know anything. Confirm your destiny. And you can pray to confirm your destiny. Good enough, the Lord has blessed Mountain of Fire and Miracles Ministry with some powerful prayer books you can open and pray if you want to know your destiny. There's a particular book called Pray Your Way to Breakthroughs. There's a section there called Know the Secret. There's another book that has a section there called Revelation Knowledge. Or Make Your Way Plain Before My Face. You can grab this press. Begin to pray, Father, I want to know why you brought me here. I want to know your call for my life. I want to know what you intend to do with my life. Begin to talk. Begin to tell the Lord. You may pray the prayer for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, before you begin to have what you call Joseph's dream. Joseph knew his destiny. He said, I saw all of you bowing down to me, including the father and the mother. So he knew that one day, it's going to the top. I see somebody here. One day, you get to the top. And every part that is harassing you now, that doesn't want you to get there, you will bury them. Let your amen roar like thunder. So, what is point number one? Point number two, confirm your destiny. Confirm your destiny. Don't just go into university and study just anything to get a degree. No. Confirm your destiny. If the Lord says that you are a pilot, then you are wasting your destiny by studying sociology or studying history. Three, ensure that you are physically, materially, and spiritually matured. Ensure that you are physically, materially, and spiritually matured. We have discussed this before. Ensure that one. There's nothing wrong if you go on 3 days dry to improve your spiritual life. Nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong if you'd say, I want to read the whole of the Bible through. It takes only 56 hours to read through the Bible. And if you read three chapters every day, and you read 5 chapters on Sunday, you finish the Bible in a year. There's nothing wrong. Those one will increase your spiritual temperature. Ensure that you are physically, materially, and spiritually matured. Don't fall into a trap where a woman will give you an 8-year-old daughter and say, God said, this is the person you are going to marry in the future, so begin to look after her now, and you're already 20. Four. Ensure that your partner is born again. Ensure that your partner is born again. That is, this person that is talking to you, or you intend to talk to, ensure that the person is born again, so that you are not deceived at all. How many points have we covered now? What's number one? Number two? Number three? Number four? Number five? Complete your deliverance. Complete your deliverance. Because there are anti-marriage forces that do not want people to get married. Deliverance is the only way out for that. There is no other way out. As a sister attending one of these churches in Lagos, 13 times she had failed engagement. 13 times. She started to have failed engagement from the age of 19, and it stretched till she was 40. 13 times. So it was, and she goes to church. Was there? I think she now went to her pastor. The pastor preaches like an American. Went to the pastor and said, the mother dragged her to her pastor and said, Pastor, my daughter has got me to this church. It's at 13 failed engagement, and you are here. What have you done about it? The pastor looked at him and said, Mom, what did you just say? So I said, she had 13 failed engagement. The pastor said, 13 failed engagement? This is serious. Take her to the mountain of fire. Amen. At least that one was honest. Now this one is not an ordinary matter. Let her go for a deliverance from those anti-marriage forces. If your mother had a bad marriage, you better start praying now. If your father is a polygamist, you better start praying now. You come from a polygamous home. You better start praying now. If your father had concubines outside, aside from your mother, you better start praying now. Don't wait. Start praying now. There is something in your foundation that needs to be addressed. Don't waste time at all. And if you look at the whole of your family, you find that marriages never work. You better start praying now to get delivered from that, what you call collective captivity. I pray that the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. Amen. What is point number one? Two. Three. Four. Five. Number six. Ensure that you have a solid communication line with the Almighty. Ensure that you have a solid communication line with the Almighty. Ensure that you have a solid communication line with the Almighty. There are about 40 ways that God speaks to man. 40. Out of those 40 ways that God speaks to man, acquire some. Acquire some. So when God, you can hear from God anytime, acquire some. There are 40 vehicles of divine communication. Out of those 40, acquire some. For example, God can talk to you face to face, the way I'm talking to you now. God can talk to you by voice, the way you are hearing my voice now. God can talk to you through visions. Visions. You are praying, you are seeing things. Or you close your eyes and you are seeing things. God can talk to you sending his angels. God can talk to you through dreams. God can talk to you through reference to Bible passages. God can talk to you through anointed meditation. God can talk to you through your conscience. God will just speak to your heart, and you will know that he's speaking to your heart. God can talk to you through an impression on your heart. He impressed the thing on your heart. God can talk to you through the inner voice. He will speak to your inside. God can talk to you through the still, small voice. Still, small voice. If you want to know more about how God talks to people, I recommend you get a copy of our Bible study on hearing from God that we did some time ago. So you know the various methods by which God talks to people. A lot of us rely only on dreams. Dreams are good, but the disadvantage of dream is that you only dream when you are asleep. And you are not going to get married inside the dream. You are going to get married in the physical. So don't rely on dreams alone. Rely on other things. God can also talk to you through anointed counseling or anointed words from men of God. God can talk to you through prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. So many ways that God speaks to his people as line of communication. It is not everybody who will hear the voice of God the way you are hearing me now, but you can see vision. It's not everybody who can see vision, but you can dream dreams. But ensure, and the only way to ensure that is to prayerfully pursue it. The Bible says, whosoever ask shall receive. If you knock, it shall be opened unto you. If you seek, you find. It's what you ask for, heaven will give to you. If you shut yourself in and go on to a retreat and begin to pray every three hours, Father, I want you to talk to me. Open doors of communication to me. I want to understand you. I want to know you. I too want to talk to you like a friend. I want to talk to you face to face. You keep talking. And you clean your life from sin, he will talk to you. If God abandons you, he's not talking to you. and is now talking to another person about you, then you have a problem. If he's not talking to you, he should talk to you clearly. Not you relying on third party before you can hear from God. So ensure that you have a solid communication line with the Almighty. Out of the 40 ways that God speaks to people, make sure he speaks to you by some. Get this Bible study on hearing from God. Get the outline, get the tape, get the CD, listen to it over and over again. Then put yourself into prayer and begin to pray. If you pray for one day, you don't have results yet, go on the second day. You don't have results then, go on the third day. Go 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days. Then begin to fast. Do it day one, do it day two, do it day three. As far as there is no sin in your life, heaven will talk to you. It is a certainty. Whosoever asks, receives. Whosoever knocks, the door shall be open. If you seek, you find. That's the promise of heaven. So call upon me, the Bible says, and I will answer. That is heaven for you. Number 7. Seek God in prayer. Seek the face of God in prayer. Seek the face of God in prayer. The Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Seek God in prayer. Begin to ask, Father, who should I marry? Is it this person that I must marry? You must seek the face of God in prayers for a godly spouse. How many things have I told you now? What is number 1? 2? 3? 4? 5? 6? 7? 8. Seek for angelic assistance to lead you to your partner, to lead you to your wife or husband to be. Seek for angelic assistance to lead you to your husband or wife to be. Seek for angelic assistance to lead you to your husband or wife to be. You can ask God to send an angel to direct your steps to your wife, just like it is in Genesis chapter 24, verse 7. The angels of God, who are ministering spirits, can assist you. Seek for angelic assistance. Number 9. Ask for specific revelation from heaven on your wife or husband to be. Ask for specific revelations from heaven on your wife or husband to be. Ask for revelation. You want to know. You can pray to a level, beloved, where God will bring a picture before you. Ask for specific revelations from heaven on your wife or husband to be. And last but not the least, for you to get the proper thing, let the peace from the Holy Spirit settle in your mind. Let the peace of the Holy Spirit settle in your mind. The closer you are to God, the better your life will be. The farther you are away from God, the worse things become. And you are as close to God as you personally want to be. You are as close to God as you personally want to be. If you want to be closer to God than the way you are close now, you can do something about it. Increase your prayer life. Increase your Bible reading. Increase your consecration. Increase your commitment. Increase your prayer time. And you find that you start drawing close. You start drawing close. You start drawing close. The closer you are to God, the better for you. The more you become a friend of the Almighty, the easier it is for you to locate your partner. But if you are not born again, you are not serious, you are a hypocrite, the kind of person you will locate will be somebody like yourself. You are a deceiver. You also locate another deceiver like yourself, because the dragon in the person will invite you. Both of you will magnetize each other. If you are the kind that is keeping malice and you'll be playing games, you will not be able to attack a good person. And I want you to understand this very well. Unfortunately, these days, plenty of people, young people in our churches, are really not born again. They're just going to church. Just claim to be born again. I was in the aircraft. I was coming from London. And there's some very young men in the plane. They went to a musical show, a Christian musical show. They were talking in the plane. Oh, that mad brother, they mentioned the name of the musician. It was awesome. It was awesome. That one, this is fantastic. In fact, I could feel the move of the Holy Spirit in that place. It was awesome. Very soon, the British woman air hostess came. Hello, gentlemen. What would I offer you? The first one said champagne. Second one said, I want beer. No, I said, These are people who say, it was awesome. It was awesome. I pray that you will not make a mistake. Amen. I pray that this lecture will not stand against you one day. Amen. I pray that you will not get to everyone and say, but the general of us, I explained this thing to you. Why didn't you follow it? I pray that will not be your lot in Jesus' name. Amen. Rise up on your feet now. And all eyes closed. For you to locate your partner, everyone must first of all locate you. For you to marry the right person, you must have surrendered your life to Jesus. For you to key into the revelation of heaven and to begin to enjoy the facility of heaven, you must, of course, first of all, find God. All eyes closed. But you see, if you are here this afternoon, and you are not born again, there's no way heaven will be talking to you when you are not born again. I want to help you, because I want you also to be able to key into heaven. Very soon, we're going to start some prayers about revelation. But if you are here, say, Pastor, yes, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I too want God to be speaking to me. I don't want to make a mistake in my life. And you are here. Wherever you are, while all eyes are closed, I'm only going to count 10 because we don't have time. We want to go and pray. Whatever you have, by the time I count 10, if you are not here, I assume that you don't want anything from God today. One, to surrender your life to Jesus. Leave your seat and run there very quickly, very quickly. Two, don't waste time. Don't waste time because we want to go and pray. Three.
To Jesus I surrender, Lord.
Four.
To him I freely
give. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Jesus is waiting for you here. Nine.
Oh,
Those of you at the front, open your eyes, look at me here. You've taken the most important decision in your life today by surrendering your life to Jesus. Many of us took that decision many years ago, and we thank God we took that decision. Those who did not take it then, they are regretting now. So I congratulate you. Bow down your heads where you are. Close your eyes. Say what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. As from today, I say bye-bye to the devil. I enter into the kingdom of light. Father, I pray that you forgive me of all my sins. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to pray with you now. Father, I thank you for your children here. I pray, oh Lord, that you will uphold them by your power. Write their names in the book of life. Let them move from strength to strength and from glory to glory. Today that you have surrendered your life to Jesus, the Lord will open your eyes. He will do great and marvelous things for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Open your eyes, look at me again. I want to be your friend and I want to continue praying with you. So fill our form and immediately we close. Please don't go away. Just come quickly to the altar here. And we just want to give you 1 or 2 minutes of assistance. We won't waste your time. But don't go away. Just come so that we can assist you more in your new walk with Jesus. God bless you. You may go back to your seat and come back quickly. Immediately we close now. You can go back to your seat. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. May go back to your seat. Thank you, Jesus.
On the mountain, in the valley, on the land, and in the sea. On the mountain, in the valley, on the land, and in the sea. Hallelujah, the Lord is my portion in the land of the living. The Lord is good forevermore. The Lord is my portion in the land of the living. The Lord is good forevermore. On the mountain, in the valley, on the land, and in the sea. On the mountain, in the valley, on the land, and in the sea. Hallelujah! The Lord is good, oh, forevermore. The Lord is my portion in the land of the living. The Lord is good forevermore. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh, thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. I really want to thank you, God, for saving me. Hey. Thank you, my Lord. Hey, thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord. Hallelujah. Saving me. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, my Lord.
Amen. All eyes closed. I have come from a polygamous home. Please lay your right hand on your head as you pray this first prayer. Very soon this prayer will start. Then the power of God will begin to move here. And if there is anything at all planted within you from that home, the power of God will extract it from you and throw it back to the senders. If there is an anointing in that house that wants to mess up your marital life, as we pray this first prayer, the yoke will be broken to pieces. Let your voice roar like thunder as you shout this one loud and clear. marital pattern of my father's death. In the name of Jesus. That's right. The center katanda yaba. Ribosoponda kente yaba shanta. Open your mouth and pray it. Open your mouth and pray it. In Jesus' name we pray. Silence. An aggressive angel has just entered in to remove certain things. Let there be silence. Some people are here. When the touch of that angel gets on them, they may not be able to stand on their feet, because that which the wickedness of their household has planted will be uprooted by force. It's happening now. That's right. Your glory that they have been toying with, that has been stolen and transferred to others, that hand is upon you now to restore, to restore, to restore. Aha. It's still going on. It's still going on. Masepo takatende arabo sandia. Ribola pia likatan sente abo shanta. Yes, you cannot continue your journey in this life. I terminate that journey. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go now. In the name of Jesus. Within the next few seconds, anyone in this meeting that there is an anti-marriage curse that has been issued against you, either by your mother, by your father, by your friend, by a former boyfriend, anyone in this garden, all of a sudden, the wind of the Holy Ghost will blow upon you. And once that wind blows upon you, you may not be able to stand on your feet. And all of a sudden, the curse that has been issued against you will be broken to pieces. Yes, that's the wind of the Holy Ghost. It's blowing now. That's the wind. That's the wind. It's blowing. That's right. The satanic wedding rings upon your fingers that the enemy has put there that is preventing you from settling down into marriage. Fire is coming upon those fingers. Now, right now, in the name of Jesus. Now, with a voice that roars like fire and like thunder, you will shout this louder than anyone around you. This is a prayer that has helped millions of people. I'm ensured that the prayer helps you here today. Oh God, Allah! Open my eyes! In the name of Jesus! Open my eyes! The eyes must be open. Open my eyes. Jesus' name we pray. Silence again. Silence again. Yes. As many people as are gathered here now, and there is a satanic decree that you will never marry. And that decree has been pursuing your life. Where you are, very soon the wind of the Holy Ghost will blow upon you. And once that wind blows upon you, it is likely that you cannot stand on your feet. But that yoke will be broken permanently. That's right. That's the wind blowing upon you again. Yes, it must be released. Yes, that's the wind. This, yeah, that's the wind. Aha. Shout it again loud and clear. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Allah! Open my eyes! In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and declare.